Today, the church observes the Feast of Corpus Christi. And literally translated, that means the body of Christ or Christ's body. And in some parts of the Christian church, this is a major celebration with processions, social gatherings, lots of community outreach. It's a major, it's, as we say, a big deal. And as we are aware, many of what I call civic holidays actually have origins in holy days. And I know that we are aware of this, but every now and again we are reminded of the fact that the word holiday does come from the same root from Old English, which actually is holy day. So if we just remove the Y and place an I, we have the same word, don't we? And so Corpus Christi reminds us of the emphasis, the focus on the Holy Eucharist. And some people, particularly children, receive their first communion during Corpus Christi. And you're probably wondering, when is or was Corpus Christi? Well, actually, it was on May the 31st, the actual day, because Corpus Christi is what is called a movable feast, and it is generally the Thursday after Trinity Sunday. So as we go through this, just think of the church's calendar, and we would recall, of course, that we move from the solemnity of Lent into a joyful Eastertide, followed by the Ascension, followed by Pentecost, followed by Trinity Sunday, and now we're at Corpus Christi. And today gives us reason to celebrate the life of the church itself, and who we are. The Christian church, of which we are a part, has had many labels. But one of the more evident descriptions is the body of Christ. And one way of looking at the body of Christ is its literal interpretation. Literally, what is the body? And when Jesus lived in human form, he had a body just like ours, with flesh, with bones, and with blood. He lived among the people and did his work of preaching, teaching, and healing. Preaching, teaching, and healing. But after his resurrection and ascension, Jesus, though absent in the physical body, still has a body through which he lives and works to carry out God's plans in the world. And we, as the baptized, now constitute the body of Christ. And as baptized Christians, we are the visible side of God's presence in the world. So we do carry on that responsibility of teaching, of preaching, of sharing God's love as the body of Christ. But today, permit me to challenge each and every one of us to focus our attention on three aspects of the body of Christ. And one important aspect of the body of Christ is the quote-unquote ritual, or the regularity at which, through which we come together as part of the body of Christ and partake in Holy Communion. So, communion, what is this all about? Well, of course, if we listen carefully to Matthew's reading of the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, Paul suggested that as believers participate in Holy Communion, we identify with Christ in fellowship with each other. It's a corporate event. So it is one of the outward signs of a relationship with God and with each other. And this is a lasting relationship. Because as Maggie read the gospel, she said, "But the one who eats this bread will live forever." Straight from John chapter 6, 58b. Jesus said, "The one who eats this bread will live forever." So it's a lasting, ongoing relationship. Moreover, we're reminded of the magnitude, the enormity of the gift of the Holy Eucharist. And we are reminded of this every Sunday morning when we are worshiping. Because when we gather here today, there are two main emphases in our form of worship. And just as a reminder to us of what we do, the first part of our worship is called the Liturgy of the Word, highlighted by the reading of Scripture, a homily, and our statement of our faith. Other things happen, but these are the three main parts of the Liturgy of the Word. And then after our confession, we move into the Liturgy of the Sacrament. And that is highlighted by the participation in Holy Communion. And so the Church today reminds us of the importance of that act of worship. And the Gospel reading reminds us of that importance, recalling the reported words of Jesus. In verse 54 of the Gospel, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." Eternal life. Of course, we knew that Jesus was speaking figuratively, wasn't he? For just as it is important to eat and drink to nourish our bodies, it is necessary to be spiritually fed to nurture our relationship with Christ in fellowship with each other. So first of all, communion. Secondly, community. Community. As a community of faith, we edify and encourage each other as we work together to build up the body of Christ, to build up the church. For just as the physical body has different parts and each has its own function, we too, as the body of Christ, bring varying gifts of ministry to build up God's church. We serve one another for the good of the community and to the glory of God. And I must interject something here. Quite often in churches and in other organizations, there's a tendency to stratify different levels of gifts and different levels of contribution. And I would challenge you to think of any part of the body, your body, that's not important. Because each part, as invisible as them, some parts might be, or as insignificant as they might appear, contribute to the entire functioning of the body. And in the church, it's the same. And quite often, we overlook some of the tasks that are done humbly and quietly that contribute to what we are doing. And so we all bring different gifts, and no gift is more important than others. But I can tell you something on a very personal level. Right now, we're looking for people who have the gifts of invitation, who have that special gift to invite people. Because if we look around, it's clear to say that we can do with a few people sitting next to us, isn't it? Amen. So, my sisters and brothers, each gift is important. First of all, then, we focus on communion. Secondly, we focus on community. But thirdly, we focus today on the consecrated life into which we are called. Our Christian vocation requires our dedication to the service of God. And as we are aware, baptism is generally regarded as the point of entry into the church. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, as Christians, we have the privilege to be the light of Christ to all around us. Later on in the service, we're going to be singing hymn number 450, and it's one of my favorites. And I'm not going to sing it for you today because that requires a special audition and a special audience, naturally. But just a few highlights from that hymn. And I would like you really to think of these words as we sing it later on. And this hymn was written back in the 1920s, but it's still relevant today. And it goes something like this. You call us, Lord, to be a people set apart, to feel with thoughtful mind and think with tender heart. Thus chosen, now, O Lord, we ask for faith in your unfailing grace to make us equal to the task. And you know, I'm sure that many of us in our day-to-day interactions say that prayer in one way or other. It might be a condensed version like, Lord, help me through this. Or, Lord, give me the answer. But our lives are dedicated for God's service. And so, then, we are all part of the body of Christ, not using our gifts for selfish purposes, but rather to use all that the Lord has given us in the service of others. And despite the diversity in the interpretations of Scripture and the variety of Christian worship, unity in the church must be our goal. And we could have unity in diversity. But it all really comes down to discipleship. One of the former archbishops of Canterbury, most Reverend Michael Ramsay, wrote a book called Through the Years with Michael Ramsay. And it's an amazing book. And if you don't have it in your library, you don't have to go too far. It's in the church's library. It's in the parish library. And every now and again, I go into the parish library just for my own, keep me up to date. And in that book, and I'm going to refer you straight to the page so that you don't have to spend time looking through the whole book if you don't want to. He says something like this, and I quote, "We have all caught something of the vision afresh in every church. We are alive and seeking one another in a living and growing faith and love. We then, as church, must become more like the church of the resurrection with energy, with enthusiasm, with insight, with goals." And I believe that the words of Archbishop Michael Ramsay are still relevant to us today. So my sisters and brothers in Christ, as we observe the Feast of Corpus Christi, we think of what we believe and what we do as disciples of Christ, as the church. Our participation in the Eucharist is an indication of our relationship with God and the promise of new life. As a community of faith, we work together and we serve each other. And we celebrate the fact that our lives are consecrated to Christian service, for we are all children of God through our faith in Christ. So my brothers and my sisters in Christ, these words and these thoughts I share with you in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.